Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. It is a light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen. Well, since coming to Newbury just over a year and a half ago, I have noted with interest the annual Rhythm of Remembrance for HMS Tigris. I was not able to attend the service last year, at which many of Captain Goulburn's relatives were able to be present, although I'm pleased to have met some of those here today. And I am pleased to speak at this penultimate service of remembrance as we enter the 75th year following her loss. The adoption of a naval vessel by a community is an interesting and honourable action. A community, by doing this, identifies not only with the crew, but with the vessel herself. And I'm sure during the heights of conflict, this town saw in HMS Tigris something of what it meant for us to play our part in the defence of the nation. I remember an event in my own experience some years ago when my training incumbent, who was a reserve naval chaplain, was called up by the Royal Australian Navy to serve in the Persian Gulf. For those months while he was on active service, a small church in rural Tasmania had our man involved in that particular conflict. It provided us with a point of connection. He was our representative who we had released and sent. In much the same way, I imagine HMS Tigris has been and is Newbury's representative in a world war. And so our years of remembrance are therefore appropriate and purposeful. It was this, my naval chaplain vicar, who introduced me to the spiritual side of service at sea. Every July, he celebrated Sea Sunday, in which we always sang, and as we are about to, that hymn, "O hear us when we cry to thee, for those in peril on the sea." And his remembrance and our own today gives me pause to think about how to fathom the depths of meaning in the ocean depths themselves. And our Bible readings in our service today assist us in doing that. And so consider how the words of our psalm, our first reading, draw us into the image of water, of oceans and seas. It's a psalm that reminds us that even as mighty battleships or stealthy submarines might seek to ply the waves with arsenals of human power, they are passing through a medium that speaks of a greater power still. They went out on the sea in ships, the psalmist sings, and they saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. And as the psalm continues, we are caught up in a storm of divine power, as the psalmist tells of being mounted up in the heavens and going down to the depths. We are with him, lifted up to the top of the swell, and then plummeting down into troughs of water as they mount on each side and in front and in back. The psalmist speaks of people who stagger like drunkards, not just because of the motion of the vessel or of seasickness, but because they have become so very aware of their size, their finitude, their standing before powers and forces that are beyond us and above us. And as a general lesson, this is well made. Life in general is like being cast out on the ocean, and the greatest step of maturity is to recognize that we cannot control all the waves that are cast upon us. The wise person knows the point at which their courage melts away and who to turn to when they are at their wits' end. So perhaps the Tigris, as our representative, represents us also in this lesson. She launched forth not just into oceans, but into the tempest of the Second World War. Commissioned in 1939, it was the only life she knew. And in that conflict, she was pushed back and forth, not just by ocean currents, but by political complexities, enemies operating under formerly friendly flags. And with that mixture of orders from above and situational awareness in the here and now, she launched forth into the storms of the Second World War, and she reached her end. And we remember her end. And as our representative, she connects us with our own end, our own place in this world's waters. Our remembrance today therefore responds to a divine call. The psalmist issues it, that those upon the mighty waters might cry out to the Lord in our trouble, to the one who will still the storm to a whisper and bring about peace and calm and a safe haven. And so we speak of HMS Tigris, and we commend her and her crew to rest in peace in the depths of the sea. And we think of ourselves and understand that the path to such peace for us may be a cry of trust, of faith, and of hope. And perhaps such a crying out to the God of peace is more necessary now than ever, as the rhetoric and rhythm of war in our current time is hardly waning. The Tigris is our representative in the sea, and the uncertainty of the sea itself makes us aware that our own time in history, in this time, we need a divine safe haven for ourselves and for this world of ours. And our gospel reading speaks of such a safe haven. Our reading, our second reading, brings those famous lines from Jesus, the Beatitudes. I won't read them all out again, but here are some particularly pertinent ones. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The Beatitudes speak of a divine safe haven of blessing, and it pertains not to the powerful, but to the poor in spirit, to those who mourn, to those who have shown mercy, to those who are peacemakers. And in our remembrance today, we can perhaps make a connection. Over the years, in the tumult of war and following, we have remembered HMS Tigris, and many have mourned her and those who sailed in her. We have, over the years, cried out, and now we hear, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We hear, blessed are the merciful, and blessed are the peacemakers. And while it might seem strange to connect these words to a military vessel, it's my experience that it's rarely vengeance and violence that motivates military service. It is rather the valuing of mercy and peace. Even this week, we received in our church office from Captain Colvin's family a letter sent to the captain's mother by an Italian prisoner of war. This prisoner of war had been rescued and spent some time on the Tigris. And in the letter, he gives testimony to the captain's goodwill, his good treatment, his honourable, perhaps we say, merciful conduct. Our remembrance then takes us to think of these things, to the uncertainty of the ocean, to the uncertainty of war, to the need for us to cry out in faith, and to the hope of the Beatitudes that belong not to the mighty and the victorious, but to the humble and the lost. We dwell on these things, and here at the end of our reflection, as he is at the end of all searches for meaning, we are reminded of Christ himself. He who freely and voluntarily entered into the storms of human existence. He who cried out in faith in the anguish of the cross. He who laid down his life as one of the meek and poor in spirit. And he who by doing so ushered in an assured hope that has lighted our path ever since. We can therefore remember the Tigris even after 74 years and find in this year, amidst the darkness of depths and the raging of storms, a sure light of hope. Amen.